All right, if you have your Bibles this evening, find, if you would, the book of 2 Corinthians again. I'd like you to find that ninth chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. This will be my last opportunity to preach to you before, on the subject of faith promise, before we collect our cards next Sunday. I realize that probably the heart of our missions program and the heart of our missions is in the room tonight, or at least in the building tonight. Normally, your Sunday night crowd is the one that carries the water when the water needs carried. Most churches say that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. I do not think that to be true about our church. We have a remarkable percentage of people that get involved around here. And I tell you, if you've ever been part of a church where people don't participate, you know the hardship of that, but you also know the blessing of being at Plantation Baptist Church. But I understand that when the going gets tough and when you need to count on people, usually your Sunday night crowd is who you can count on. So I appreciate this opportunity that God gave me tonight, and I desire to be somewhat simple, but also to be somewhat practical this evening. And you may have heard what I'm about to teach you before, but I think it would be important to rehearse it for us. We have been teaching on faith promise missionary giving. Faith promise missionary giving, as defined in the scripture, is the church, us, the local New Testament church, giving over and above the 10% of the tithe to worldwide missions. We understand that we have been taught that or led to that by the example of the writings of the Apostle Paul under the Spirit of God. We know that the churches in Macedonia did this. We know the churches in Achaia did this. We know the churches in Corinth did this. We understand that it was a important thing that Paul taught was to be added to the growth of a person in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In verse number 7, we understand that Paul, really and truthfully, they took the first missionary offering around back in his day, and they collected for that. And so missions was born back here in the book of Acts. Ultimately, missions was born from the heart of God, because the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. So really the first faith promise gift really was God giving to mankind the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll teach you that tonight. And it's where we understand our responsibility. I think if this morning did anything for us, it gave us an understanding of the outreach and the total accountability in the direction of the Word of God. We don't really, outside of sitting here, when you put money in the offering plate, we don't really see where it goes or how it comes to fruition. But when a man stands up and says, for 56 years I've been serving in Japan and showed us all those people and all those churches, and these people stood right here that had been won to Christ from his ministry, from which we supported and from which we get fruit, then you get a visual understanding of the importance of missions. These people were precious people, amen? Did you not sense the body of Christ? You know, when you know people that and you know the Lord, there's a unity there that's just so wonderful. And so that's what this is all about. So when I hand you a flyer a couple of weeks ago, and there's 50-some missionaries on that flyer, what's being done in Japan through this one missionary, we're involved in projects all around the world. We could go to Chile. We could go down to Africa. We could go to Australia. We could go over to London like we did last week. By the way, let me just say something about last Sunday night. I should have done this morning. How many were in the service last Sunday night? Did not the missionary do great? We took a love offering for him. You remember that? He had the need for $2,800 for his son, and then he shared some other needs. And so we just stood and said, let's let God do what God's going to do. Over $4,000 came in that love offering Sunday night for that guy. And God's people said, amen. Amen. So I know we have a heart. I know we have a heart to give. I know that we understand. So I want to teach you, because I've been preaching a lot about giving and giving and giving. I want to kind of teach you tonight about your expectation in faith promise. So for that, I need you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I need to show you what you're able to expect from being involved with faith promise missionary giving. Let's just pick up here in verse number 1. He says, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Now remember, he's writing to this church of Corinth, and he's saying, I know that you know how to minister to the saints. He's saying, I know you have a heart. I know you understand how to be used of the Lord. Look at verse number 2. For I know the forwardness of your mind. So these people were people that thought out of the box. These people were aggressive in their intentions. For which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. Now you need to remember, the Macedonia region is way north of Corinth. Corinth sits way down here. Paul's writing from over here in Ephesus, telling them about these Macedonia churches, and he lets them know that really, how that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. It was the church at Corinth that it was their intention and their zeal that spurred on Macedonia. And if you read about the Macedonian churches in chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, and we've already talked about them, how this was a phenomenal missions-giving people and what they were able to do through the leadership of the Lord. Paul says, so I know your heart, I know your mindset, I know your zeal. And for that, I would say they were like our church. And I would say our church is like them. We have that same zeal. Pick up in verse number 3. Yet, conjunction, have I sent the brethren, our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. Now, Paul's trying to prepare these people. I'll tell you, show you what for in just a moment. Unprepared. We, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. So Paul was like all preachers. He bragged on their church. Listen, when I go to a preacher's meeting, I make you people sound like you're angels. You've never committed a sin, and you are just awesome. I tell them that if we have 100, they ask me, how many did you run? I don't know, 600, 800, 900. We couldn't count them all. I got them in there. All preachers brag on their churches. And so Paul's here, and he's bragging to the churches of Macedonia about Achaia. And if you remember in 1 Corinthians 16, they had made this promise that they were going to give this offering. And so Paul's over here telling them, listen, these people are excited about missions. They love the Lord. They've got this huge, monstrous offering prepared, and you're going to be blown out of your mind, Macedonia, at how great they're doing. Now, preachers can be, is hedging your bet a phrase I can use in a pulpit, or do I need to come down there and say it? So here's what Paul does. Paul says, I'm bragging on you. Now I need you to come through. And so in verse number 3, basically what he's telling them, and in verse number 4, listen, I don't want these guys of Macedonia to happily or just by happenstance to come with me, and we come over here to get this offering that you guys have promised, and you guys be unprepared. He says, I don't want you to be ashamed. You told me you were going to have this offering, so I'm sending Titus over here, and I want him to get you ready, so when we show up, all you got to do is say, here you go, because I'm bragging on you. Pick up in verse number 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Okay, so he's saying, listen, I want you to be ready when we show up. whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready, as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Okay, so Paul didn't want them to show up, and he didn't want this church here in Corinth to act in the flesh. Now here I need to stop, because no pastor wants their church to operate in the flesh. Nobody does. I don't want you to be involved in Faith Promise missionary giving if it's in your flesh. If you understand what I mean by that, nod your noggin. Okay, I heard that. Let me show you why. I need you to go to verse number 7 of chapter number 9. Every man, according as he, what class? Purpose in his heart. Now, remember when I did the illustration last Sunday about the two stands, and I said, the heart of man is our inward man. That's our spirit. That's where we communicate with God. That's where we know God. That's where God communicates with us. And your emotion, or your psuche, your will, your soul, that's to be submitted behind your heart. So I hear from God. God leads me along. Then I discipline my mind, even though my mind makes all these excuses why I can't do what the Lord wants me to do. But there's an impression on my spirit because I prayed. So I've got to get my mind to a willing position, and then I'm able to carry forward. See, I need you to be able to do that, or otherwise you're going to fall into the trap of verse number 7. Keep reading. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not, what's the next word? Grudgingly. Or of necessity. Grudgingly or of necessity is giving in the flesh. You will be miserable if you give to Faith Promise grudgingly or of necessity. And I understand that. I'm not trying to twist your arm. I don't want you to operate in the flesh. Neither did Paul. Paul didn't want them to show up and then everybody just kind of do something without praying for it or praying about it. He didn't want it to be a matter of covetousness. Well, I see what Brother Lillard is giving. I see what Brother Dave is giving. I see what Brother Howe is giving. And so I gotta make. He didn't want all that. He said, I need it to come from your spirit, where you've spent time with God, or otherwise it'll be a grudgingly or of necessity. Well, Pastor, how do I know? Well, look at verse number 7 at the end. For God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. Well, how in the world, Pastor, do I get from the position of necessity or grudgingly and become cheerful? You do not get there in your mind. You get there in your heart. See, when God places any leadership on my heart, whether it be a decision financially or a decision otherwise, when I'm following the leadership of the Lord, then I am excited or hilarious to do it. But if I got to do it without the leadership of the Lord and I'm just trusting my flesh, it will be of necessity. Oh, well, man, I want to be left out. So let me just give the missions. Or if covetous, well, I got to keep up with the Joneses. Or I don't want it to be of grudgingly. All they want is my money. No. You and I have got the responsibility to spend time with the Lord so that our giving comes from our heart, so it is cheerful unto the Lord. Because look in my four eyeballs. You'll never survive giving if it's not done cheerfully. You will be miserable. You will never know the joy of giving. And by the way, when you give according as the Lord leads you, it's joyful. I mean, whether it be a dollar or whether it be $100, I got the greatest illustration of that this week. My little daughter, Allie, is going to be 5 on Sunday. And it was Nancy Northrup's birthday at our Senior Saints. Nancy is Carol's mom. I didn't even know that Allie had done what she had done. She had got this little box, she had made this little card, and she got a $1 bill. Now, I know when she got a $1 bill that she committed a sin of thievery and stole it from me, but that's okay. Okay? And she took this $1 bill and she put it in the box and she had it all taped up and she had some pennies in there and she was going to give it to Miss Nancy for a gift. Well, she must have left the cardboard box out here in the hallway and it disappeared. I don't know. Somebody must have thrown it in the garbage or whatever. Tears running down her face. She comes to me, "Daddy, my present, somebody threw my present away and I wanted to give to..." And you could just tell at a little tiny girl at 4 years of age, she must have been moved in her heart to give, and it was a joyful experience, and she was tore up because she couldn't do it. See, when you get to the point where you give out of your relationship to Christ, joy comes in there, man. And it's thrilling in our lives. Amen? All right. So, having all that introduction, Paul gave them something in verse number 6 that you need to know. And I don't know if you're going to write this in your Bible or you're going to write this down somewhere, but you need to write these things down. He introduces this church to a biblical law and to a truth. And he didn't want it to be of a covetousness. He didn't want it to be that way. He says in verse number 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, was Paul trying to teach them that I don't want you just to give a little, I want you to give a lot? Not necessarily. What Paul's trying to teach them is what you and I need to understand when it comes to giving, especially missions giving. He's teaching them a biblical law called the law of the harvest. I want you to say that. Law of the harvest. He's teaching them the ordained plan of God when it comes to sowing and reaping. Now, this is hard to teach into a crowd of South Florida because you guys probably have never been on a farm. Anybody ever been on a farm? Anybody ever plant a garden? Okay, so we got some of us. And we understand what it is to sow a seed in the ground. And when we used to do that up in Michigan, sometime around May, maybe early June, my dad would make us go out there and he'd stand there like Hitler and make sure that we did the garden and did all that stuff. And then in the fall, all that would come up. And we used to have corn boils at our church. Anybody ever have a corn boil at your church? Bringing all that fresh corn, and they'd get these big old things and boil it up, and you'd eat corn ear after ear after ear. And then a few days later, anyway, it was kind of... That wasn't really the best missions plan Dad ever came up with. I remember watermelon. Michigan has some of the best fertile soil you've ever seen. We grow watermelon. We do all that. But we understood that you put a seed in the ground and a harvest is coming. Paul is teaching this church about the law of the harvest. Now, I know you see on television preachers that want you to sow a $1,000 seed. And they want you to come up there, sow your seed, and they want you to experience all this, and they make this promise to you. I think in our Baptist circles, we have let some of them rob us from the reality of what the Bible does teach. And the Bible does teach the truth of the law of the harvest and the law of the harvest. However, I find Paul teaching it through your local church. And so here there is a sowing of a seed, and there is the expectation of the reaping of a harvest. And so our giving, Paul, here in verse number 6, he equates our giving with sowing a seed. Now, I want you to write this little phrase down because I learned this phrase a long time ago, and it's important. You can write it in your Bible. You can write it right there by that verse, and I would suggest you write it in Malachi somewhere also. The phrase goes like this: tithing is a debt I owe, giving is a seed I sow. Tithing is a debt I owe, giving is a seed that I sow. Now, there's not really an expectation with the debt other than to pay my debt. And then God said he would open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. But in the sowing of a seed, there is an expectation. I mean, a harvest means there will be multiplication. No farmer puts one seed in the ground and expects to get one seed back, right? Unless you plant in South Florida soil around here, okay? So we understand that. There, and Paul's teaching them here that there is a law of harvest, there is a sowing, and there is a reaping. Now, why am I teaching you this? Because I need to know that you understand that your faith promise missionary offering, Paul likens it to sowing it as a seed. And if I sow a seed, I can expect a what? Come on, that was weak. If I sow a seed, I can expect a what? Harvest. I don't know if you saw last year, but I found this. When I give the faith promise missions, God gives me my faith promise back. He does. I want you to know that you can expect back based on this verse, not only your faith promise, but a multiplication of your harvest. Pastor, is this a get-rich-quick scheme? No. Pastor, is this something that I can do deceitfully? No. But if you follow the leadership of the Lord and you follow biblical giving, you need to understand that our biblical giving is a sowing a seed, expecting a harvest. Amen. Okay, why do you need to know that? Because look at the verse. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap, wow, sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Now let me teach you what I think that means when it comes to sparingly and bountifully. I don't think that God is concentrating on your number. Stay with me. Just stay with me. This is important. I think sparingly and bountifully can be designed this way. Lord, what do you want me to give the Faith Promise missions? I want you to give, for sake of illustration, $1 million a week. Okay? $1 million. Lord, you want me to give $1 million a week. Tom, I want you to give $1 million a week. Whatever that amount is, God gives me a peace about that, and God gives me an understanding, and I know that I've got God's number on my mind. Here's where I make a decision. Am I going to sow bountifully, which is the complete fulfillment of what God's asked me to do, or do I slice that thing despairingly? Lord, I don't know that I can do $1 million a week. I'm a little bit uncomfortable with that. Why don't you let me do $500,000 a week? Let me do $500,000. Let me do $500,000 a week. What have you done? You have had the opportunity to sow bountifully. Bountifully is not a number. Bountifully is what God asks you to do. Do you understand that? Sparingly says, no. We got to slice that, and we just got to give this. Will God let you do that? Sure he will. God will let you do that. A lot of people do that. But understand this. When you sow sparingly, you also, and when you sow bountifully, you also, okay, now let me go over this again until you absolutely almost regurgitate it. You can't take it anymore. I'm not saying it's a denominational value. I'm not saying that the guy that gives $1,000 is giving more than the guy that gives $100. What I'm telling you is to realize that it's our responsibility to get from God what he would have us to do in Faith Promise Missions. And then that's bountifully. If God says give 50 and you say, oh, no, I'm going to give 100, and you want to give 100 because that's fleshly and you just want to prove what you can do, that has no more God's power than slicing it. What God wants us to do is to follow his leadership. Are you with me? And so if I slice that down sparingly, then I'll reap sparingly. It's a law of the harvest. Now, there's three things about this law of this harvest you need to know. Here they go. Number one, we will always reap what we sow. Now, this doesn't only go in faith promise giving. This goes in a lot of things. But when a guy plants a corn seed, what's coming out of the ground? Corn. And a guy plants a cucumber seed, then cucumbers are coming out of the ground. I can teach you this. From Galatians chapter 6, just listen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also, what class? Reap. Okay? For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So in the law of the harvest, whatever I sow is what I will also reap. Now this goes way beyond even finances. Listen, if you need friendship, then you ought to sow friendship. Isn't that biblical? If a man will have friends, let him show himself what? Friendly. Some of you need time, then you ought to sow some time. Some of us need certain things. Whatever I sow unto the Lord, I will reap exactly that. Now, based on the law of the harvest, that means if I sow financially to Faith Promise Missionary Giving, I will also reap what? Financially. Financially. That's where I think you miss out on what you do. You've got to train yourself to look for the blessing of the Lord. You got to say, okay, Pastor, last year I was involved in Faith Promise, and I'm a little bit not energized about it because I'm not sure that I saw, I don't know what I saw benefited by that. Well, probably God gave that back to you, you just didn't remember or look for it or see it. Or maybe it wasn't given properly, and so there was no recourse to that or no blessing back from that. But we need to train ourselves to look, and when I sow that, to know that I will also reap that. Because a lot of us need to stand up and say, listen, God blessed me, God gave me back my faith promise, and I want to testify to His faithfulness. Has anybody ever had God give you back your faith promise? Could you raise your hand? A few of us. But the promise goes to how many of us? Come on, the promise goes to how many of us? All of us. So if all of us have the promise, why just a few of us see it come back? Probably we're not looking for it. So as your pastor, I want to teach you that when you turn this card in, whatever this comes about, man, that God leads, you ought to be looking for God to bring that about in your life. It will make your Christian life exciting. Law number two, not only do we reap what we sow, but we also reap more than what we sow. And this isn't rocket science. You understand? You put one seed in the ground, you're going to get a plentiful harvest. And so what I have found, and I will prove this to you from the Bible here in Philippians in just a few minutes, that you can count on not only it being reaping what you sow, but reaping more than you sow. Nobody will ever get to heaven and put your finger in the face of Jesus Christ and said, I gave more to you than you gave to me. Did you hear that? Nobody. We're not going to be able to get there and say, wait just a minute, buddy. I gave you more than you ever gave me. No, the prophet said, great is his faithfulness. And God gives more to us. I think it goes back to how busy we are, how distracted we are. We don't count your blessings, name them one by one. I had a Down syndrome boy in my dad's church, and every time we'd sing that song, count your blessings, name them one by one. Two, every time. Two. Every time. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, didn't matter. Two, he'd add them up. We reap more than what we sow. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Law number three. Not only do I reap what we sow, not only will we reap more than you sow in the law of the harvest, but you do reap later than what you sow. Here's where we need a little bit of, just a little bit of, not confrontation, but a little bit of sobering. We live in such an instantaneous society, and we are looking for a return all the time. And so we've got all our little devices, and we've got all of these things, and we want that gratification right away. But God doesn't work according to the iPhone. Now, if you have an iPhone, praise the Lord, and you got your Bible, nothing wrong with the iPhone. But God doesn't work according to the iPhone. God works according to the law of the harvest. And in the law of the harvest, you plant a seed or you sow a seed, and then time goes by, and then comes your harvest. Anybody ever buy seeds from Home Depot? They sell them there. I planted a garden a couple years ago. I know Brother Scott Patterson plants a great garden. I go in there, and you buy that box of seeds or pack of seeds, and it'll say, comes to fruition in 90 days. Not me. I want the ones jacked up on steroids. I want those babies in 50 days, okay? Just you know, that shortest time period. Our church needs to see that this is an investment. Okay, now let me talk to my senior saints. Senior saints. These people were your investment when you were younger. That we saw today. That was your investment. That was your faith promise dollars. That was your prayers. That was a generation of people. Okay, now let me move down from our senior saints to our middle age. Pastor, what's middle age? Well, I'm 37, so let's start there. And let's go up to whatever. It's our turn to make an investment. It's our turn to go out and to dig the ground, bury the seed, and prepare for the harvest. Because I don't know about you, but one day when I'm a senior saint sitting in the church, and maybe it's this church, I want for the next missionary, maybe that young man that was here last Sunday night, for him to bring people from England, and I want him to line this thing, and I want to be able to say, I gave to that. I invested in that. Now let me talk to the younger generation here. You need to be investing in the future of souls and in the kingdom. Okay, yes, you know, you take a job. What kind of retirement benefits do I have? Do I have a 401? Do I get this? Do I get that? No problem. Get all you can get, but invest in the kingdom of God. See, we all have a responsibility. Every one of us have that responsibility to make our investment. So, yeah, right now, it's hard work. Right now, it takes faith. Right now, I don't know, Pastor. I got four kids. I've got all this. What are you asking me to do? I'm asking you to get on your knees and say, God, here's my situation. How can I be involved? And then I begin to be involved. But I begin to make that investment. I'm sowing the seed. It's dirty, sweaty, unrewarding work. I planted a garden, and every day when I put those seeds in there, I would go out and see if that green was coming through the ground. Every day, I'd go out there and I'd water it. If I wasn't home, couldn't water it, I would call Beverly and I'd say, please go out there and water those things. Rah, rah, rah. No, is she in here? Rah, 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 rah. I'm not going out there to do that. Well, send one of the kids out there, but somebody go out there and water. And then she came out after my green beans had sprouted and I had green beans just everywhere. It was awesome. She said, I'm gonna go out and look at those green beans. No, you're not. Don't go out there and look at my green beans. Those are my green beans. You didn't water those green beans. It's hard, sweaty, nasty work. But the green beans taste great. And the fruit tasted great today, didn't it? Didn't you leave here thinking, God, how full are we? So there's a law of the harvest here, guys. There is the sowing and there is the reaping. I promise you, you will reap more than you sow. I promise you, you will reap what you sow. There's a time to that. Let that investment mature. Let those crops be watered and let those come up too. But it takes us now to carry the ball. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and I'll be done. Come on, turn your page there. Philippians chapter 4. This is my last shot at you. This is that little Macedonian church that Paul's writing about here. These people understood this. Pick up in verse number 10. I'm just going to read these. Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Remember, he's in prison right now. That now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. That's missions. Faith promised missions. That's giving to the missionary. Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want. I'm not after that money. By the way, Brother Laverne Rogers didn't want our money for himself. He wanted our money to invest in the kingdom. Any man of God worth who's honest wants that. Look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. You did good, church. You did well. You have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. What's he saying? That you participated in missions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. There was one faithful church. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now I told you, when you sow, you also do what? reap. Look at verse number 16. If there was no reaping to their sowing, and we understand their poverty of this church, where did they get the opportunity or the money to do it once and again? Once and again. What they sowed, God gave them back. Then they gave again, and they gave again. But God was faithful to give it back to them so they could give. Paul says, you gave it to me once and again, once and again. Well, man, they didn't have that much, but God was faithful to them. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire, say it, church, fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and I'm bound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now here's his promise to them on the authority of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need. And God's people said, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This little church of Macedonia understood New Testament spirit-filled approach to missions. Their needs were met. They had the joy of the Lord. They had tremendous fruit, and they were well cared for. I know that Plantation Baptist Church has the heart of these Macedonian churches, but to operate, we've got to operate underneath the plan. What does God want for us? So let's go over it again. I pray, God, what do you want me to do? Well, I want you to do a weekly offering, okay. Or you get paid every 2 weeks. Do it after that. Or you get paid once a month. What do you want from me, Lord? I want to sow something. God, give me a figure. I put it down there, and then I mark how I'm going to give it. And then I do give it, and I begin to sow that seed, and I sow that seed, and I sow that seed, and I give some time, and there will be a harvest. Now, my challenge to you is to look for the harvest. And when the harvest comes, I want you to come and tell me, Pastor, God gave me the harvest. I got my faith promise back. And I will do the same for you. But look for God to be faithful. It will light your spiritual fire so bright, you'll be like a rocket shooting up through the solar system. I hope you believe me. The only reason you can believe me is it's the Word of God. All right, so now we pray. Now we ask God, what would God have us to do in faith promise missions giving? And we'll collect them on Sunday, but I want you to spend the week in prayer, understanding that law of the harvest, understanding sowing and reaping. Brother Gary, get us a good song to sing. I'll have prayer, and we'll be dismissed.